So this time of year, if you didn't know from our children's message this morning, is the time when young people in our community go back to school. But even if you don't have any students in your household, I bet that you probably look at the calendar and think of Labor Day as a kind of turning of the seasons. You know, it's the end of summer, the beginning of fall, no more white after Labor Day, a mid-year new year, a time to try something fresh and new. And so today, as we turn from summer back into fall, no matter what our weather might say, I want to invite you to come back to school with me this morning, back to the basics of our faith. Today, as we gather around the communion table, I want to return to the heart of our faith, the core of what we believe. So today, let's talk about grace. Grace is one of those churchy words, I think, that we use so much that we sometimes forget just how awesome it is. I grew up at a church that was called Grace United Methodist Church in Gaithersburg, and so as a child, every time we sang a hymn like Grace Alone, we would always giggle a little bit, thinking maybe it was about our big brick building and the sanctuary where we gathered every week. But we all say grace before meals, or maybe when we dodge a bullet, we churchy people might even say, "Phew, by the grace of God." But what is grace? What does grace mean, and why do we need it? Grace, simply put, is a love that we don't deserve, a goodness that we haven't earned. I think I've decided that this is my new favorite scripture verse in Ephesians that says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast." Grace is the love and the mercy that God gives us simply because God wants us to have it, not because of anything we've done to earn it. It's saying, "I love you," even when the other person doesn't deserve it. And in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey says that grace is the greatest gift we can ever receive and the greatest gift Christians can give to the world. And I agree. And I believe that we all need it. Before we can give it, we all need grace in our lives because of our failings, because of our fallings, and because of our following. First, we need grace because of our failings, our sins, our screw-ups. We all have problems in our lives that are the results of our own choices, the consequences of our own actions. So it's the first reason why we need this grace. We need God's gracious forgiveness and guidance to get back on track. I know this is kind of a bummer way to start a sermon, but consider your past week. Is there anything you wish you had handled a little differently? Think through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Were there any conversations that you've been replaying in your mind? Times you made a bad call? Think through Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Any choices that you made that weren't the best? I don't know about you, but in 1 week alone, I am capable of picking a fight with my husband, disregarding God's creation by working myself to death, and then becoming so focused on my own stuff that I make myself the center of the universe and forget that I am not in control. That's just the surface of my failings this week. What about you? This is the first and foremost reason why we all need God's grace, because we all have failings. Romans says, "For we've all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But thanks be to God that that's not the end of our story. That's not the whole plot. Because the message of grace is that there is nothing that you could ever do or ever fail to do that would ever make you God love you any more or any less. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can fail to do that would ever make God love you any more or any less. We need grace because we have failings. But the amazing thing about grace is that we don't have to be perfect in order to be loved. God is always ready to catch us when we fail, when we mess up, ready to forgive us, ready to take us back. Second, we need grace because of our falling. Those times that we fall down in grief or in anguish or in sorrow. Sometimes, to be sure, we suffer at our own hands, we make bad calls, and we kind of mess up. But other times, let's look at our lives. If we're honest, we fall down on our knees because the weight of the world's suffering is on our shoulders, and it's all too much. Good people get hurt, controversy arises, and we cannot solve the problems before us. Our community knows what this is like. If you live in Severna Park, you may have heard about Paul Overton, who had a motorcycle accident just a couple weeks ago while learning to ride in a parking lot. He's been in critical condition, and he's recovering from a surgery he just had yesterday. And during this past 2 weeks, our community's really rallied around him with prayer and financial support, praying for God's grace to save him, to heal him, to be with him through it all. We need God's grace for unexplainable circumstances like this. See, the second thing we need grace for, it's also being saved. Ephesians says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." But being saved is not just about repenting of our sins. It's being saved from whatever you need saving from. And it's a gift of grace, not something that you have to earn. We all need God's grace when we fall on our knees in sorrow or in anguish or in grief. And the amazing thing about grace is that we are never alone. When we fall down, when we fall apart, God is always right there, ready to pick us up again. And that is pure gift. Finally, we need grace for our following. I was thinking this week about Philippians 4:13, this verse I got taught at VBS with a little hand clap motion. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things. I love this verse because it's such a powerful promise. All things, Scripture says, you can do all things. But the second part is equally important, through Christ who strengthens. We can do all things through Christ. All things by grace. Or said another way, we can't do the work of the church without God's grace, without the grace-filled help of God. We can't follow Jesus without the grace-filled support of the Holy Spirit. Some of you know that this week I've been writing like 90 pages of theological essays in preparation for ordination. Currently, I'm a provisional elder in the Methodist Church, and so that means that I'm hoping that I'll pass my exams this winter and then be fully ordained in May of 2019. So as I've been writing all these essays and preparing and thinking about ordination, I've also been thinking about the vows that I'm going to be taking, hopefully next year, in the ordination service. In that moment when pastors commit their lives to this vocation, the bishop asks a lot of hard questions. The bishop asks, "Do you believe? Will you be faithful? Will you do your best? Will you lead the people of God?" And obviously, all the answers to this are yes. But we don't get to just say yes or I will, as though we can simply decide that suddenly we'll do all of these things. No, see, us pastors know we simply can't accomplish it all on our own. And so our vows, when we take on our vocation, aren't a simple, yes, I believe, or yes, I will follow. Instead, in that service of ordination, I will say, yes, I am so persuaded by God's grace. Yes, I will, with the help of God. By God's grace, with the help of God. You don't have to get ordained or be a pastor in order to follow Jesus, and you don't have to take the vows of ordination in order to dedicate your life to God. But whenever you do step out in faith, it's by God's grace. And whenever you follow Jesus, it's with the help of God. Because no matter what God is calling you to, it's going to be bigger than what you can do on your own. God calls us to step out, to walk on water, to cross the Red Sea, to heal the leper, to welcome the stranger, to stand beside the oppressed. And by God's grace, we can do all those things through Christ who strengthens us. See, the amazing thing about grace is that it enables us to follow Jesus. It's not just for our failings. It's not just for our fallings. It's also for the moments that we're ready to follow, when we're ready to leave it all behind and follow Jesus. Grace gives us a vision of what could be and the perseverance to get there. So today, in a moment after our offering, as we receive communion, I invite you to bring your whole lives with you to the table. When you come forward, I invite you to take time after you receive to kneel at the altar. Because if you're anything like me, there are failings that you need to give up to God. And there are times that you have fallen down that you need to hand over to God. If you're anything like me, you know the call on your life is bigger than what you can do. So you need some grace in order to follow Jesus. Grace truly is amazing. And the most amazing thing about it, I think, is that it comes from God free for everyone. All are welcome to come and receive. So may you receive God's grace this day. Amen.